Do you like D&D, improv, and a podcast where the DM can't control the player's intrusive thoughts? Well then, Flip of Fate is what you're looking for. This loosely D&D podcast is about four misfits being roped in on an adventure by a wealthy centaur wizard. We also have a three-part Halloween special out now set in the modern world about four teens caught up in a small-town horror. We played that one shot in a simplified D&D system close to the Call of Cthulhu system. Now in our main campaign, we play in D&D 5e. And if you're looking for some nitty, gritty D&D and advanced rule following, you won't find it here. We're just five close friends that enjoy improv and D&D with some chaos mixed in there. So come and check us out. You can find us anywhere you listen to podcasts at Flip of Fate. You can also find us on all socials. So stop by and say hi. Again, find us and listen to us at Flip of Fate. Thank you, and enjoy the rest of your show.
Hey, Danger Dangers here with a special Halloween announcement. Part one of our Patreon-exclusive Halloween bonus content will be premiering Wednesday, October 16th. Stick around to the end of the episode after the credits and blooper for a sneak preview of that. Remember, you can access any of our bonus content by signing up on Patreon for just $5 a month, or by volunteering as an episode transcript and wiki writer. Shoot an email to dndarkpodcast@gmail.com for more info on that. That's all for now. Enjoy the show.
D&D Dark is an absurd, over-the-top comedy horror adventure that is intended for older audiences. Content warnings can be found in the episode descriptions.
Hello and welcome to D&D Dark, a comedy horror adventure real play podcast loosely based on Dungeons & Dragons 5th edition and starring some of history's most infamous monsters. I'm Danger Dangers, and I'm your host / Crypt Keeper.
Hello. I'm Grayson. I play Jack Griffin, the Invisible Man. Last episode, Jack was still reeling from finding the threshold of what is and isn't okay. We got Imhotep back, or who we think is Imhotep, and with a few lucky rolls, Jack was able to kind of catch a few little details that don't exactly sync up with our previous knowledge of Imhotep. But until we know for certain, looks like we got him back.
Hi everyone, I'm Ben Magnet. I play Mary Frankenstein, our barbarian paladin. Things are bad. Like, they're really, really bad. So Larry and Phantom, they had some feelings sign, which was awesome. But then, while we were talking with Marlo, evil Imhotep decided to mess with the subtitles. So I, instead of hearing what was really going on, heard something completely different, and that led to me screwing things up with one of our best benefactors this entire game, Marlo. So yeah, it's just all bad. However, we may have a saving grace because apparently Phantom knows about Evil Tep, but Mary, on the other hand, is just still reeling from what was happening, and he's kind of having a bit of an existential crisis. I mean, more so than when he normally has an existential crisis, but this was just like, is something wrong with my brain? Am I short-circuiting? I know I heard what I heard. And yeah, it's not a good time for Mary right now.
Hi, I'm Jordan, and I play Larry Talbot, the lycanthropic warlock. And last time, we wrapped up the Necronomicon portal tears. We decided to hunker down in the opera house. We're in kind of a weird place of our understanding of what is going on with Imhotep right now. Like, we know there's a suspicion something's up with him. He's been saying a lot of weird things to everyone. And then we made our way over to the nearest graveyard, went down into some crypts, and destroyed our very first Dracula coffin.
Woo! Yeah. Mary went smash.
25% of the way there.
Yeah!
And it wasn't even that hard.
But we have made it back up to the surface after a job well done, and we are surrounded by shadows and zombies, I believe.
Those are my zombies.
We are surrounded by shadows and zombies.
Hello, my name is Daniel Cruz, and I play Imhotep the Mummy, Mummy Lord, our cleric. Last session with the group, I played as Imhotep with big air quotes and a question mark, and I did a bunch of shady shit, playing good faith, the chaotic evil, kind of sucks.
Daniel, you can't see me, but the whole time you said, I'm going to change the things what Mary hears. I'm flipping you off the whole time.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair and valid. So last session, I convinced a lot of people of a lot of questionable things. and used a spell that I have called Dance Macabre to bring a bunch of corpses back to life to help us fight this group of shadows. I also play Imhotep the Mummy, our cleric who, after making his way through all nine layers in the biggest rush of his life, made it to Avernus, finally made a deal with Asmodeus.
Yeah.
Came out with a really cool, really powerful sword, and is currently on his way back to his body. Also, Asmodeus may or may not be free to roam about the world plains. That's neither here nor there. Don't worry about that.
Kind of everywhere.
I didn't let the devil out.
You merely adopted the evil. I was born in it, raised by it. I am Aaron. I play the Phantom of the Opera, our bard. And I'm a triple, quadruple agent. Who knows where my loyalties lie? I'm wheeling. I'm dealing. I love Fakotep, maybe, question mark. I love the team, maybe, question mark. But we did successfully destroy one of Dracula's coffins. The first step on the get Dracula back for the murder plan is in effect.
I like to think that those question marks work both ways and that even you aren't entirely sure what team you're on anymore.
Let's see. I've got my notes. Page one, Team Evil Hotep. Cool, cool. Written on the back, Team Party. Okay, okay.
I remember you were talking to the Quasit and you thought
Oh, yeah, I'm fucking Team Quasit. What am I talking about? Never mind. I know where my loyalties lie.
That's the correct answer.
All right. And with that, let's try to survive 13 shadow demons.
I played Kingdom Hearts too.
First things first, Jordan, card of the day.
All right. So I have the Chariot or Temperance. Temperance gives me resistance to poison and acid damage. You are immune to poison conditions. Spells you cast that deal poison or acid damage do 1d6 extra damage. Or the Chariot, which gives me and my allies 10 extra feet of movement. I don't have many spell or acid damages to do. Let's do Chariot. Let's make everyone real fast. Get on your heelies, guys. We rolling.
But it's muddy.
All right. So where we left off, you are all in the cemetery of the city of Windsor, surrounded by 13 shadow demons that have encroached around you after you've destroyed Dracula's coffin and all of the vampire spawn have dispersed. Imhotep has summoned 7 zombies to assist. Because there's so many different tokens, I'm going to be using basically just kind of a horde thing where I'm going to give everybody a collective pool of HP. And every time you deal enough damage to kill one of them, just collectively, one of them will be taken off the board.
Okay.
Sounds good.
Just for simplicity's sake, so that it's less to keep track of, and all of the shadow demons are going to take their turn at once, all of the zombies are going to take their turn at once. When we all rolled for initiative last time, the shadow demons got a nat 20.
I have alert. I can't be surprised.
Well, cool.
Yeah.
I was going to say.
Congratulations. Before we do the combat proper, I will give you all 1 minute to strategize, and then the shadow demons will be taking their turn. Starting now.
So we're just going to go back inside, right?
I guess we can. Or just mad dash for the...
Mary wants to smash.
Okay.
See, I have a spell called Dawn, which literally just sunlight and it deals 4d10 radiant damage.
Does that affect everybody? Do we need to get in?
I mean,
do we need to get inside?
Might be a good idea for that one. I'm just throwing out what I have.
I was just gonna say I could try and forge a path and then we book it.
I will run in the building.
I mean, I also have the zombies to hold things at bay.
You're not at disadvantage, right?
No, I'm a disadvantage against Imhotep, not against the shadow demons.
Oh, okay.
And that's 1 minute. So, kicking off the combat, the 13 shadow demons are going to go first.
Ah, shit.
As they are swarming in on you, the conditions of the day, it's hazy, it's cloudy, not particularly bright light, not particularly dim light. they're about to fix that.
No!
So half of them, as they are encroaching in on you, are going to begin to stretch out and disperse, bursting apart at the seams into clouds of darkness.
Ow, shoot.
He's giving them status effect markers. Oh, God!
So five of them are using their action to disperse into a 5-foot radius sphere of magical darkness. The other seven of them are going to make their attacks. So because now they are all in darkness, they can hide as a bonus action.
That's rude.
Which will give them a sneak attack.
Fight fair, damn it.
So, two of them are going to attack Fakotep. Two of them are going to attack Phantom. One of them will attack the Quasit. One will attack Larry. Two will attack Mary.
Oh, dear.
Not Playflow.
So, I was going through my thing, and for one of those attacks, I would like to use one of my reactions, which is Protection Fighting Style.
Yeah!
All right, so you can impose disadvantage on one of them.
I impose disadvantage on the guy attacking Larry.
Thank you! Thank you!
So that is going to be 15 d20.
Oh, Jesus.
That's a big number.
I'll go ahead and take that 8 and that 4.
Yeah, first come, first serve.
So the two that are attacking Mary both miss. So two hits on Imhotep, two hits on Phantom, one hit on Larry, one hit on Bleeblo.
No, not Bleeblo! Not a boy. There it is.
So the one against Larry will be 18 psychic damage.
Oh, wowie.
The two against Phantom will be 14 and 18 damage.
So 32.
I swear, if you kill Bleeblo.
It is 22 damage, and he has 7 health.
Oh my god, Bleeblo! No!
Justice for Bleeblo.
Justice for Bleeblo.
Justice for Bleeblo! You'll be avenged!
And then the two against Imhotep are 15 and 11.
Ooh, I'm down to 22 HP!
Whee!
So, in a flurry of rending and tearing psychic slashes that lash out at you from this cloud of magical darkness, Bleeblo drops the horse costume.
No! No!
Steps stoically out into the center of this darkness, looks over their shoulder back at you, a single tear and a salute.
Oh.
As he says,
"Yes, get up, boys."
And then gets torn to shreds, drops down as a spotlight hits, and has a very prolonged, hyper-dramatic death scene.
Wow.
We're talking the mask getting shot. Kind of.
Exactly. As he's sitting there, lying crumpled up, bleeding and coughing, he then walks out of frame as a little MST3K silhouette audience rises up in front of all of the action that all stand up and applaud. He takes a series of bows as they throw roses and awards at him.
His arm just stretches out and hands him an Oscar.
Yeah.
And then he looks back into frame, waves goodbye, and walks off to an adoring crowd.
God bless Bleeblo.
We barely knew thee.
Who the hell was that Quasit?
Grayson, it is your turn.
Larry, Phantom, how you looking?
Horrific. Bad. Very bad. Thank you.
I'm hurting.
Whatever 11 health looks like, that's what I look like.
Oh, I don't look that bad.
I have an idea to save you guys, and hopefully it works. Dan, what I'd like to do is hold an action of movement, but I'm going to pull out the picture frame and lay it out and tell them to jump in. And then I'm going to get the broom ready.
Good, because my plan was actually going to be in range of Phantom and he was going to get hurt with this.
Yeah, once they jump in the hold, then I'm jumping on the broom and I'm darting 50 feet.
Okay, so you're going to hop on the broom and use the broom's movement to carry the picture frame away. So I will have you roll animal handling.
Oh, God. That's right. gonna do that. Unless someone else wants to do the animal handling, and I'll jump in the picture frame. 13.
With a 13, I'm going to say that you can successfully navigate the broom out of this cloud and carry everybody with you. You will only be able to make it 30 feet instead of the full 50.
Okay, but Larry and Phantom would be safe.
Assuming they would be able to jump into the picture frame.
Okay.
I hope so.
30 feet's going to put us just on the other side of the zombies.
Understood. So, Mary, it is your turn.
All right, going into a rage because I've just had enough of these shadowy creatures bullshit, and I'm going to do something that I have not done in a while. I'm going to activate my desert aura.
Oh, deserty.
Because some of these bastards are hiding in shadow, and I'm going to make them see the light.
Yeah.
So remind me, that is 3 fire damage?
Yep, that'll be 3 damage to people within a 10-foot radius. And unfortunately, that does include Phantom, which is why I was saying grab Phantom and get the F out.
Yeah. But I'll live.
Ah.
So that will deal 18 damage to the horde of shadow demons.
Hey, not bad.
Phantom, get out. And I just essentially Super Saiyan fire.
And when you Super Saiyan fire, you hear, tss, ah!
Yeah, that works. And I don't think because it's fire, creatures in darkness do anything, right? It just, they're still dark voids.
They are still dark voids.
Okay, well, yeah, worth a shot.
What I will let slip, the shadow demons that are exuding this aura of darkness, they cannot attack while they are doing that, and their movement is cut in half. They are basically maintaining this little cloud of magical darkness instead of attacking.
Okie dokie. And for my action, I would like to attack this one right here, and I would like to cast Thunderous Smite.
Okay, so go ahead and roll to hit. As long as the attack hits, you will be able to add on that smite damage.
Sweet. That is a... Ah, boo. That's a... Well, 6 plus 7 is a 13.
And a 13 will hit.
Ooh. Oh, my
God. Hey. Okay.
Ooh. 5 plus 8, 13 total damage.
All right. And then the shadow will have to make a strength saving throw or be pushed back 10 feet. Let's say 13 minus 5, so the shadow demon will be pushed back 10 feet.
Cool.
That does make a nice little pocket.
So by pushing that one back, you have disrupted a little bit of...
Of the total darkness?
Leaving a little pocket that is not shrouded by the shadow demons. So now it is the zombie's turn.
So I guess the two that are in the cloud with Goon A here are going to beat them up, and everybody else is going to go find somebody to go beat up.
And your dance partners.
Basically, yeah, go find a dance partner and beat them up.
And the collective zombies will all in sync nod and then run shambling off towards various different shadow demons around here.
I'm imagining Imhotep, like, drawing his Kopesh and looking at them and saying, find the foe and defeat them. They all nod, and he goes, great NPC energy, and everybody, keep it up. Weirdly in sync. All the shambles are in perfect time with each other. I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. How many do I need?
There are 7 of them.
7. Alrighty, let me move some dice around. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. All right.
My ears!
So there are 2 nat 20s in there.
Oh, shit.
Out of those 7, 4 are most likely to hit. So 2 are 20s. Then it's a 19 and a 17. The other was a 6 and a 3.
So 4 of them will hit and 2 of them will crit.
Okay.
Go ahead and roll that damage.
So the final damages are 2, 4, 7, 12.
Okay.
As we have established, they are all the same copy-paste assets, so they all do the exact same attack at once.
All right, so Imhotep, it is your turn.
Okay, I am going to use Green Flame Blade, and I'm going to draw... He's going to draw the Kopesh, and he is going to swing at one of the shadows that is right in front of him.
Okay, go ahead and roll to hit.
So that is going to be a 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19 to hit.
19 will hit.
Okay, so it is going to take
So it's going to take a total of 7 damage.
All right, and you have dealt enough damage to get rid of 1 out of 13.
Wait, is this one spell? It is a bonus action. As a bonus action, I'm going to mass healing word.
All right.
Hey.
Oh, shit.
It is within 60 feet, so I think everybody should be good.
Yeah.
Oops.
This will affect everyone except for Mary.
And Mary, yeah.
You will still heal from your own healing magic.
Oh, I will?
Yeah.
Sick. Okay. Then everybody is going to gain 9 health back.
Thank Sweet. You. So what's your healing word?
Oh. He looks over his shoulder as he slashes out in this rush of green flame that comes out of his blade. You watch as one of the shadows disappears in front of him. He looks over his shoulder with like this callous look, and he just says, "Fools."
Why are they all insults?
Mean Hotep. Trust me, I already know what real Hotep is going to do for his healing word as soon as he gets back.
Yay.
I've already got it planned.
All right, Phantom, it is your turn.
All right, I got a DM question.
Good.
What's your question?
So when you're in the painting plane, are you vibing? Like from the outside, it looks like, you know, you're a Luigi's Mansion painting. But while you're in there, you're not, like, frozen or whatever, right? You just live in Chalk Zone?
Chalk Zone is a good approximation.
Sweet.
Cool. Then I'll hop on in there, but I'll hold my action until Larry is also in there for chit-chat time. Just fun. Oh. Goofs and gaffs.
Oh.
For the mechanics of coming into and out of the painting, I will say entering the painting counts as 15 feet of movement.
Oh, sweet. Okay.
Cool. Cool.
And then same thing for exiting the painting. The painting threshold will eat up 15 feet of movement.
Neat. Yeah, cool.
Okay. So you dive into the painting and you hold your action for conversation time.
Yep. Well, you know, it's combat, so I figured it's time for us to start actually talking about our feelings and stuff like that.
Course.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
Of course.
Who do you think we are? Absolutely.
All right. So, Larry, it is your turn.
I can see 6 shadows. Is that right?
Yes.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Okay, so I am going to use my Eldritch Invocation to cast Bane. And I can cast it on all 6 of those bad boys.
Oh, shit.
All right.
So they need to make a charisma saving throw.
12, 13, 14.
DC's 15.
Hell yeah.
All right, so these 6 are baned.
Whenever a target makes an attack roll or saving throw before the spell ends, the target must roll a d4 and subtract the number rolled from the attack roll or saving throw. And with that in play, I am going to awkwardly, like, kick my foot in the painting as, like, someone awkwardly hopping a fence and really just flop myself in there. I end up in Chalk Zone, all just kind of crumpled and on the floor.
Cool. And as soon as they're in, my movement gets triggered, and I think I go right about here. And then you guys can pop out whenever you want.
Okay.
Sweet.
So, as the two of you climb into the painting and Jack, you take off on the broom, I will leave it up to the three of you to describe what that looks like.
My Luigi's Mansion representation on the painting is gotta be, like, so baroque. Deep shadows, spotlight lighting glinting off of the mask, and the background is not in that art style, so it clashes horribly.
Then I would say, jumping off of that, I look like a crayon drawing.
Beautiful. So before I have Phantom take his held action for conversation, Imhotep, roll initiative.
Oh, yeah.
Our baby boy!
Yeah.
Sweet baby boy!
That's a total of a 5.
Oh. Oh,
we'll see you tomorrow, buddy.
It makes sense. He's trying to crawl out of the bag, right?
See, I had this whole, like, image in my head of, like, how Imhotep was coming out. Who has the bag?
I do.
So, do I get to narrate how Imhotep returns now?
When it circles around to Imhotep's turn.
Okay.
Oh my god, it's about time.
Oh my god.
But first, Aaron, what do you want to talk about?
Feelings time.
Larry? Is that you? You look like shit in here.
Oh.
That's not important. That's not important.
So mean.
Okay.
So, vis-a-vis killing Imhotep, I would like to propose a new development. That's not Imhotep.
Oh.
Like it all. Oops, I summoned another abyss monster. We can talk about that later. Sorry. Most importantly, I made a deal with him to shave off all the parts of your soul that are shitty. I'm not gonna do that.
Oh.
But he believes that I am. So I'm gonna need you to go ahead and walk right into his hands until he's the most vulnerable. But then we're gonna clown him.
Okay.
What do you think?
Okay.
This is a soundproof demiplane, right? I'm realizing that I really hope so.
Gosh, let me check. Jack? Jack, wave in front of the frame if you can hear us.
Phantom Larry, roll performance. This is going to determine how soundproof this is.
Oh, God. Okay. Oh, it's both of us. Mm. All right, here we go.
Yikes.
Oh, you can't also say yikes? No.
Oh, no.
Performance is a +3, so that's 7.
15. It's a +8, by the way, to get there.
Whoa! Wow.
Imhotep, roll perception.
No. Let's see. 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12.
So between, it was a 15 and a 7, you said?
Yeah.
Let me take the average of that.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't say anything crucial to the plan.
11 would be the average of that, so...
I got a 12.
And whispers are, of course, always heard.
So you are aware. The sound doesn't actually travel through the painting, but subtitles begin to get drawn beneath you as you speak that are on the picture frame.
God damn it. No.
So as you guys look out of the plane, you see Imhotep reading.
That's probably fine.
He then locks eyes with Phantom.
We might have to up that clown schedule.
And Larry's just going to look at you and he's like, thank you for telling me whatever you need me to do. If you need me to clown immediately, I'll clown immediately, but I'll wait for your signal.
You look out through the portrait, and you see him run his hand across the blade. You just see it burst into green flame, and he's still locked by the Phantom.
Now I'm realizing something horrible, Larry.
Yeah?
We're in a painting, and our turns aren't for a really long time.
No, I think you're onto something there.
Well, to cap this off, Larry, in case you're ever wondering why I don't talk about my feelings, this is just about the reason why.
You know, that's fair.
So now, 1 minute on the clock to strategize.
I'm going to use Green Flame Blade on that painting.
No, please.
That was nice knowing you.
Please, no.
We're just in the painting, just cartoon sobbing.
So strategy-wise, my plan is to continue moving south.
Yeah, that sounds good.
And then after that, I was going to put the painting, I don't know if it's possible, but just clip it on my back. So that way it gives you guys time to pop out whenever you want, and hopefully you're not attacked immediately.
We just got to get out of the painting.
Yeah, I mean, I'll be taking potentially a free attack for you guys.
My plan is just to try and maybe thunderous smite this thing back, and then once I'm out of the cloud, I can go to rush and help you guys, and I'll hold my second attack.
Well, be careful about being surrounded.
I know, I was going to push this guy back and then book it over here to you guys.
And that's 1 minute. So, Shadow Demon's turn now.
Still got 12 of them to survive.
Friggin' bitches.
I assume that since they're in the painting, I would be taking any attacks?
Possibly. They can also go into and out of the painting. It'll just take up 15 feet of their movement.
Oh.
I thought it was... Okay. I didn't think anyone else can get in unless I allowed it.
You're not that special.
It's my item, damn it.
All right, so one of them is going to move and cover the three of you in darkness. I'm going to do all the movement at once.
That was a really good idea on the Bane.
Thank you. We haven't had multiple enemies to fight against. It's always been boss fights, and Bane is kind of not that good unless I can mass hit.
Yeah.
Let's hope it does the trick.
So everything has now been repositioned. Mary, Larry, Phantom, and Jack are all in shadow. All the ones that can attack. So one of them that is not Baned is going to attack Jack. Two that are Baned are going to attack Imhotep. Three that are Baned are going to attack Mary. So that is going to be... So all but one of these are going to subtract a d4.
I'm so sorry for making you math.
I mean, this is my own doing, so, so that is going to be 10, 16, unnatural 1, 6, 19, 9, plus 5 to each of them.
One's gonna hit.
Is the one attacking the portrait coming in?
The one that's by the portrait doesn't have enough movement to get in.
Hell yeah.
Okay.
One of them is gonna hit Mary. The 11 and 24 are going to be going for Imhotep, and then the 14 is going for Jack.
One of those hits Imhotep.
14 does not hit me. My AC is 16.
So the one attacking Mary will deal 4d6 psychic damage.
Boom.
So that's going to be 13 damage on you, Mary.
All right.
And then that'll be 9 damage on Imhotep.
Okay. Just resetting my healing word.
So, Jack, it is your turn.
Alrighty, so as Jack ducks out of the way on his broom, he just goes a little too low for that thing to hit him. I am going to assume I can do the full 50.
Go ahead and roll animal handling.
Okay. 11.
With an 11, you can move your standard movement speed with the broom.
My standard is 40 feet, so that's not too bad. So I'll go 40 feet of movement and then put the painting on my back so that way they cannot get in. And then I'll pull my daggers and take the help action. And I mean, that's all I can do.
Okay. So Mary, it is your turn.
Mary is still very pissed off. And he's like, I hate fire. You're going to hate it more than I do. And I'm Super Saiyan Desert Rage again.
Okay, so that will be 18 more damage.
Yay! Are these shadows considered fiends, or are they undead, or what are they?
Roll either Insight or Arcana.
Plus one, 17.
With a 17, these are fiends.
Oh, they're fiends, you say? Well, finding out that these are fiends, instead of using Thunder Smite, I'm going to use Divine Smite.
Yeah!
When you hit with a melee weapon attack, you can expend one spell slot to equal an extra D8 radiant damage. An additional D8 on a fiend or undead.
All right. Go ahead and make your attack, and if it hits, that'll be an extra 2D8 radiant damage.
All righty. Hey, guys.
What are you doing?
Hell yeah!
Because you crit, that's going to be 4D8 radiant damage. And because they are vulnerable to radiant damage, that is going to be 8d8 radiant damage.
Yeah!
8d8s? Oh my god. You hear that? That's the sound of someone's shit about to get wrecked.
Yeah!
Wreck it.
30 points of damage in total.
Jesus.
Yes!
Oh, yeah.
That is going to take another one off the board. So you are down to 11 shadow demons.
Oh, gods, why?
Can I add a little thing really quickly, Ben?
Oh, no. No.
While you're... Well, no. It's a fun thing.
Okay.
So while you're doing all that, you hear a very muffled... Why are they putting these things in the bag?
Yeah! Please tell me I hear that. Please tell me I hear that.
Make a perception check, I guess.
Hey, that's my job. Make a perception check, I guess.
Let's see, 17 plus 5, 22.
Yeah.
Yep, you hear him.
After I just divine smite this ghost to absolute oblivion, I hear whatever Imhotep, I was like, and I reach into the bag holding and I grab Imhotep's body.
So you reach in and the first thing you hear is, wait, I don't want to be a weasel.
Inspiration, Daniel.
I pull out Imhotep's body. He's like, is that you? Is that really you?
Sensitive, please let go.
Imhotep, is that you? Is that really you?
Yes.
Tell me something only Imhotep would know.
You have new armor. Where did you get that from? It's very nice.
Oh, you mean the shield? Yeah, don't worry about that. Things happened after you would. Also, don't worry about the weasel. We got that fixed. But is it you? Please, is it tell me if this is you?
It is me. Can you please let go of the horn? It is very sensitive.
What is your wife's name?
Anxunamun.
Who is the god that you pray to all the time?
Osiris.
Fuck it, good enough for me, and I get the rest of his body out of the bag.
Flopped onto the ground.
I just rolled another perception check for Jack, and I got a natural 1, so...
You don't see shit.
Yeah.
Why is it that every time something cool happens, I can't see it.
So everyone else is too far away to witness this as you get off this hyper-impressive smite and spawn Imhotep back.
Yeah, we got this big gnarled tree in the way.
Does evil Imhotep see this?
Oh, he absolutely sees this.
And I just glare, and can we safely assume that Mary now knows that this Imhotep is 100% a fake?
You know which one is which.
Fuck yeah. So I glare over at Fakeotep,
who just kind of shrugs.
Okay, long story short, Eric tried to bring it back to the Necronomicon. Apparently, it did not work, and we have an imposter among us, and I'm going to enjoy breaking every single bone that he has. So you get yourself put together. I'm going to help you clear out the trash, and I'm going to attack Fakeotep.
I'm sorry, you said the line.
Now, this is all very cool, very narratively driven, wonderful. Do we really have the time? There are still 11 just meat grinder shadow monsters.
All right, well, okay, I won't attack Fakeotep. I'll attack this one right here.
You do you. I'm just saying, don't die in the process, please.
So just to backtrack everything and make sure that I know mechanically, since this has been a lot's happened on this turn. So you've used your bonus action for your rage.
Yes.
You've used one out of two attacks on that divine smite. So you've got one more attack left, and you've still got your movement.
Yes. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to attack this ghost monster right here.
And now that you've got real Hotep back, I'm going to start actually using the resistances.
Oh, sweet baby Jesus. I love this dice, Dan, that you gave me. I rolled a 19 plus 7 to hit. 26.
All right, that will hit. It will only deal half damage because the Shadow Demons, starting now, I'm going to actually start doing their resistances, and they are resistant to piercing, slashing, and bludgeoning.
Oh, well, ain't that okay.
We need magical damage.
Oh, well, damn it, I wasted two of my spell slots. Oh, well, I got one more.
To be fair, they weren't a waste because I was not counting the resistances until right now.
True. They were not a waste, and I was kicking ass and taking aim. So it's a D8 plus 3, so I rolled a 3, so it's a 6, but it gets knocked down to a 3 anyways.
Okay.
Any chance I could pick up Imhotep and move him? Can I sacrifice half my movement to move him away?
I would say that you can grab Imhotep and take him with you at the expense of half your movement. That's a fair compromise.
Okay, let's do that.
All right, so now it is the zombies' turn.
Now let's remember who your real enemies are in the moment, right? Right? We're facing existential threats from beyond our party.
I mean, I did put us behind a tree to help.
Can I do their turn and Fakeotep turn all at once real quick?
Fakeotep's turn is immediately after there's an initiative, so go for it.
While the zombies move in and just keep clobbering these guys, Fakeotep is going to brandish the sword, which is bathed in green fire, and is just going to menacingly walk. He's going to start making his way towards real Hotep.
Mm.
The zombies are going to attack for a 5, 6, and a 7, so I don't think these are going to hit. I have a 9. I don't think that's going to hit. I have a 14, a 16, and another nat 20. That do hit.
14, 16, nat 20. Go ahead and do that damage.
4 damage. The next one deals another 4 damage. And then the critical 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 damage.
Okay.
Mary is carrying Imhotep, right?
Yes. Yeah.
He points the sword at Mary and just says, drop it, and uses command.
Okay, so Mary, make a wisdom save.
16 total.
Ooh, 17 was what you needed.
Damn it!
All right, so you forcibly drop Imhotep.
I'm trying to resist as hard as I can, but unfortunately I drop Imhotep, and I'm like, sorry, friend, stop me.
No, I get it. I understand. Commands suck. He quickly reaches his arm into the bag, like up to the shoulder, and pulls out the Hellraiser.
Yeah.
And that's the end of Fakeotep.
I look over at the Hellraiser. I'm like, ooh, shiny.
I'll tell you the awful shit I had to do to get the shiny.
Yeah, I'll tell you the shit that I had to go through to get the cool stuff I've got, my friend. I got some tricks up my sleeve.
I'm gonna tell you right now, mine is going to be a lot funnier.
Probably. Probably is. Dude, no one even sees the cool shit I've done. It's heartbreaking.
Huh? I'm sorry, did you say something? I was too busy looking over there at the other me.
God damn it.
Phantom, it is your turn.
All right. First, if you were to look down at the painting, I'm doing the like 1990s computer screen GIF thing where like the arms panickedly go up and down at like one frame intervals. And then I pull myself out of the painting and I look over. I'm like, oh God, it can duplicate itself. Now there are two of them. No.
There's two of what? I didn't see anything.
And odds or evens, Daniel?
Evens.
Oh, no.
Oh, it's odds. I'm so sorry. Don't worry, Mary. I'll take care of one of them.
Oh.
And I'll cast at level 4, Dissonant Whispers. I only have level 4 spell slots. I'm sorry.
Please describe Dissonant Whispers.
Dissonant Whispers. You whisper a discordant melody that only one creature of your choice within range can hear, racking it with terrible pain. The target must make a wisdom saving throw. You should be good at that. On a failed save, it takes 3d6 psychic damage, plus another d6 for every level above 1. So it's going to be 6d6. And I believe if you fail, yeah, you'll become scared and have to run away from me. As a reaction.
I got an unnatural 20.
Woo!
Ooh.
Fantastic. So now you only take half the damage.
Great.
And what it is I'm not sure if the creature is actually ancient Egyptian at all. Like, I know it's abyssal. It's not you. But I don't know how much of Imhotep is in there. So it's just slurs in Nubian. You're just getting absolutely wrecked.
This is targeting the real Hotep by accident, right?
Yeah, unfortunately, yeah.
Okay.
Half of 9. Dan, are we going bigger or smaller number?
I think we've traditionally rounded down.
Cool. All right. 4 damage.
Okay.
Hey.
And then I turn around and look at Jack and I throw a thumbs up and I'm like, I'm helping.
Great job.
As you do the Dissonant Whispers, Imhotep just goes, I haven't heard these words in millennia and I really hope I never have to hear them again. Just looks at Eric and goes, yeah, that checks out.
Yeah, all right, all right.
Larry, it is your turn.
All right. So following after, Larry is going to once again spill out. Kind of ass over face onto the ground. Just. Oh, there's two of them now?
I know.
Oh, shoot. God, all right.
Two of what?
That's fine. And I go through and I'm like, okay. Well, it looks like the big players are out of the shadow mess, so I'm going to cast Sickening Radiance.
Oh.
It has a radius of 30 feet. I'm going to try and get all the zombos.
The zombos are... Well...
Nah. I saw your glare with your green blade. That's about what I can do, Dan, if you can see my radius.
All right, so that's going to hit every zombie and every shadow demon.
Okay, so Larry's going to hold out his hands and close his eyes. And right above that circumference, like a giant wolf eye, is going to open and cascade this like sickening yellow bright light.
Damn, that's rad.
Thank you. Light spreads within a 30-foot radius sphere centered on the point you choose within the range. The light spreads around corners and lasts until the spell ends. When a creature moves into the spell's area for the first time or its turn starts there, the creature must succeed on a constitution saving throw or take 4d10 radiant damage and suffers one level of exhaustion and emits a dim greenish light in a 5-foot radius. This light makes it impossible for the creature to benefit from being invisible. The light and any levels of exhaustion caused by the spell go away when the spell ends.
What spell is this?
This is Sickening Radiance.
Ooh, I love that name. Ooh.
It's a good spell.
Okay.
So at the start of the shadow's turns and the zombo's turns, they need to make a constitution saving throw. And Larry's going to be like, nobody step into the light. It's not good. It's really, really bad.
Dan.
Yeah?
I rolled another random perception and it was a 7. Do I see the light?
I'd say with a 7, you see a glare.
Okay. What light? You guys are saying random shit. I don't know what's going on now.
Turn around!
To where?
On the other side of the tree, man!
Yeah, you've moved behind just this giant, dead, charred, weeping willow. And so the whole thing has just been obscured by dead, blackened tree bark. So, does that end your turn?
Yeah, I'll stay kind of hidden and crouched behind the gnarled willow.
All right, Real Hotep, it is your turn.
So Real Hotep is going to get to his feet, sticking his fingers in his ears, trying to, like, drown the awful things he's being called out. he's going to get right next to him. The two of them are standing right in front of each other, staring at each
other.
Of
course.
And who are you? I am Imhotep. No, you are not. But of course I know. No. Stop lying.
And they're just going back and forth doing the classic, I'm the real Imhotep. No, I'm the real Imhotep.
Your bandages are not in the right place. Well, you're wearing the wrong kind of robes. What do you mean the wrong kind of robes? Yours are set currently for the worship of Ra.
Oh, like you know the worship of Ra from the worship of Osiris. Just two of them going back and forth.
We'll never be able to tell them apart.
While this is happening, I'm going to expedite the saving throws for the zombies and shadow demons, because I've got a thing I've been wanting to do this whole fight, trying to set it up.
Yeah.
So, depending on whether they all get nuked out of existence or not, will determine this. So I'm going to do all the saving throws now while you are bickering with yourself.
Opening the, like, reaching over, grabbing the wing, and, like...
They're like grouchy old men in a nursing home.
Exactly.
So, four of them will make it.
Okay.
The other seven will fail. So, seven of them are going to take 8d10 radiant damage.
Woo!
So give me one moment to do some quick math.
I think we nuked them, guys.
That's a big number.
So there are six of them left.
Okay.
And then same thing for the zombies.
DC 15?
Yes.
Okay. Four successes.
Okay.
So three of them will take 4d10 radiant damage.
Okay.
And if they survive, it's one level of exhaustion and they will emit...
I'm going to tell you right now, they're not going to survive.
Whee!
4d10?
Yes.
16 damage, so they're actually still fine.
All right, so the ones that live are glowing and are exhausted. And if they remain there till the start of their next turn, we will do this all again.
Okay.
Then I'm going to have one shadow demon before I have Imhotep take his turn.
Do what you gotta do.
One shadow demon is going to make its way out of the sickening radiance, continuing to carry with it its exuded aura of darkness, enshrouding both real Hotep and fake Hotep, and I'm gonna 50-50 roll on which one is which.
Hey.
And I will tell only Daniel.
As that happens, you just continue to hear them bicker despite the fact that this wall of magical darkness has enshrouded them. They do not care. They are still just going at it.
It's like a cartoon fight. Cloud limbs are sticking
exactly.
out.
It's been going for so long that, like, the fight sort of chilled out. Everyone's taking a break. And the stagehands are showing Phantom, like, sensitivity books and explaining what the words that he said meant.
Okay, so I have colored both tokens. One is teal, one is orange, and I have told Daniel which one is the real one.
Ah, damn it. Well, I didn't see anything anyway.
So. It's same difference to the Three Stooges over here.
I'm going to have both Imhotep's re-roll initiative, so that way you guys cannot use initiative as a way to suss out who's who.
All our clever schemes!
Okay, so one of them is an unnatural 20, the other is a 17.
Teal is the 20, orange is the 17.
Sounds good to me.
I am then going to have the rest of the shadow demons attempt to book it on out of the sickening radiance. They will have to make another save on their way out. None of them succeed.
Oh, my, hell yeah.
I don't know what that sound was, but it was joy. Oh my god.
Okay, so another two of them are going to die.
Hell yeah.
And three of them will have made it outside of the aura.
Okay.
So you are now down to just four.
Okay, this is manageable.
One more of them is going to use its action to disperse into a cloud of darkness. Two of them are going to bonus action hide. Only one of them has the movement to be able to make an attack, so one of them is going to try to sneak attack Mary.
Oh, great.
So that is an 11 and a 24.
24 hits.
That's going to be 15 psychic damage, and then that will end the Shadow Demon's turn. Now I will let you guys have your 1 minute to strategize.
There's just bickering. You hear them arguing about, that's mine. No, it is mine now. Give it to me.
No, uh-oh.
You're just arguing back and forth.
Uh-oh.
I'm going to have Jack turn around so that way he kind of sees what's going on.
Yeah, like, I grab your bandaged face and I, like, drag you to the other side of the tree. Look! Well, I guess they're in shadow now, but there's two Emoteps in there.
One of them's the real one.
What do you mean there's two?
One of them's the real? Uh-oh. I just facepalm.
My plan's to attack one, and if he forgives me, it's probably the real one.
I don't know if that works for Emotep. It would work on me, but not him.
Check to see which one's going to be petty.
Yeah, there we go.
Do we want to try and like take out some of these shadow monsters first, or just try and suss out the real and fake Emotep?
I would say go after the shades and let the Emotep.
All right, shades, and we'll do this, and we'll do the sussing out later.
I mean, that's just my opinion.
Mm-hmm. And that's 1 minute.
Cool, cool.
So, Teal Imhotep, it is your turn.
Yeah, you hear them arguing and bickering, and I can attack the shadow that is causing the darkness on us, right?
Yes.
Okay, so he's going to lash out with the Hellraiser.
Okay.
So 16 to hit.
A 16 will hit.
Okay. So that's going to be 10 damage. And it's a magical weapon, so it cuts through the resistance.
It does cut through the resistance, so it will take the full 10.
Mm-hmm.
So that was your action. You still got your movement and bonus action.
Teal Imhotep is going to run out of the shadows. He has the Hellraiser in his hand. He looks to everybody, kind of rolls his eyes, and does another bonus action healing word.
Okay.
Does another bonus action mass healing word. That's what I meant to say. And again, the healing word, as he looks at you all and he says, "We must defeat this imposter as soon as we can, fools." And as he says the word fools, you all get 7 health back.
Well, this one's helping us.
Yeah, but the other one helped us.
But I didn't like what he said.
All right, so that ends your turn. So Orange Imhotep, it is your turn.
Orange Imhotep also makes his way out of the shadow.
Is he also going to heal?
yes, actually, he is also going to use mass healing word.
Oh my God.
Oh.
And he says, "No, do not listen to that one. That one is the imposter. I need you to assist me." And the healing word that he throws out is, what does he say?
I thought it was fools.
Well, that was what the other one said. This one is going to use a different healing word.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Mm.
"We need to strike that one down." He looks at Jack, looks at Phantom. "You all need to take a nap." And that's it. And he's just going to use healing word because he sees how exhausted everybody is.
Group mama! This one cares about our well-being.
Just 6 this time.
Well, geez, I know which Imhotep cares more about us, but...
Do you say that?
You know what? Yes, I do.
Orange Imhotep immediately turns, looks at you, eyes go red. "You and I have a lot to talk about."
That really could be either. That really could be either one.
Still staring at Phantom, fires a sacred flame at the other Imhotep.
It's a dex save, right?
Yes. That's a 13, which is not enough to dodge. So he's going to take... that's 10.
And I'm assuming that ends your turn?
Yeah, that ends his turn. And he's still just staring down Phantom.
All right, so Jack, it is your turn.
Jack is still confused and he has no idea what's going on. Larry, why is there two?
I don't...
Mary, why is there two?
The real one came out of the bag of holding.
I guess I'm just that good.
You ain't done shit.
All right. I don't know what to do, so I'm going to go ahead and rush over to the one that's in darkness. I've got Abraham's dagger, and I'll pull my short sword. And I will, because I don't think that there's any way for me to hide before this.
You could attempt to hide in its own magical darkness. You would get disadvantage, so it would cancel out a sneak attack.
If I were to do a normal attack, isn't that still at disadvantage if I didn't hide?
Yeah, so you would cancel out your disadvantage if you did hide. You would not get a sneak attack, but you would attack regularly.
Okay, yeah, I'll take that. I will go ahead and attempt to bonus action hide.
Roll stealth. You're going up against its perception, which is just a 13.
Okay. 15.
Okay, yeah, you are able to hide, so if you go to make an attack, you will not have any disadvantage. It will be just a regular attack.
And then Abraham's dagger. I know that's a +2 to undead, but is that considered magical?
You know, I never... actually established that.
Yeah.
Even or odds?
I'm gonna go with odds.
Evens, it is not magic.
Son of a biscuit. All right. Fine. I'm going to slash at it with my short sword.
Okay, go ahead and roll to hit.
That's 11.
11 does not hit.
Okay, so yeah, I back off to the north side of the tree, and maybe it'll follow me.
That will end your turn. So, Mary, it is your turn.
Guys, I don't think I hit anything.
I'm just going to go ahead and attack the shadow. I have my hunch, but I don't want to act on said hunch just yet until there's nothing else in, you know, things transcribes over. So I'm going to go ahead and attack this dude right here. That has 9 plus 7, 16 to hit.
A 16 will hit.
Cool, cool, cool. D8 plus 3, but half the damage because it's resistant. It's a 7 plus 3, 10, so it's 5 damage. Finally, I'm just gonna... Oh, wait, bonus action, fire.
So it'll hit two of them and one zombie, which they are also resistant to fire damage.
Come on.
That'll be 6 damage collectively, so I'm gonna cut that to 3. And then another 3 damage to one of the zombies.
Okie dokie, well, I'm gonna hold my movement then.
Okay. So now it is the zombies' turn, which they will have to make another save on the sickening radiance.
DC 15.
Please kill my zombies. I don't want to keep rolling 7 dice.
Trying.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5 of them fail.
Okay. Those who fail, 4d10 radiant.
So they're going to take 17, 18, 19, 20, 21. Dead. They're dead. They're dead.
So 2 zombies remain.
Okay, then. They're going to dogpile on this guy.
Okay, so they're going to run up and attack another one of the shadow demons.
18, the other got a 16.
Both of them are going to hit.
So then that is unmagical, so 5 damage.
Okay, and that will end their turn. So, Phantom, it is your turn.
Well, I don't feel like I've got a lot of love for Imhotep at the moment. So I think the collateral is acceptable. Which Imhotep did I hit the first? Oh, wait, well, I can't because they swapped. Well, hopefully I'm spreading the love around. Let's go ahead and hit Orange this time with a level 4 Dissonant Whispers. All the stagehands are looking like upset and scared. He's like, no, it'll be different. It'll be different. I'm not doing the same thing. It's fine. I'm sorry. Okay. Gosh.
So it's a wisdom save?
Yeah, which I'm sure you'll do fine.
That is a 20.
Yeah, you're fine. Anyway.
So 3d6 to Orange Imhotep.
13 on that one. Oops. I learned how to roll, I guess.
What is the Dissonant Whispers this time? Is it still...
It is Graham Hancock archaeology, like ancient aliens audio starts playing in your head. But it's all the stuff that you know. You're like, no, that's not... What are you talking about?
That Imhotep still has his eyes locked on Phantom. Thaumaturgy eyes are red. You do the Dissonant Whispers. His eye twitches, but he's still staring and he says, stay out of my head, Eric. I'm not going to ask you again.
Who's Eric?
Do you not know?
Did you never learn Phantom's real name?
Jack was never in the room.
Wow.
He's a cool guy. You wouldn't know him, Jack. Anyway, don't mind me. Just moved over here.
It's very clear this one's already been hit with it, and he's very not happy being hit with it again.
I don't know what that confirms or doesn't. Oh. Okay. I'm still hiding behind this tree, but okay, thank you.
Hi, welcome back.
And I'm assuming that ends your turn?
Oh, I can't do jack shit. I shouldn't even have done those. I have got, like, one more spell in me.
All right, Larry, it is your turn.
Well, I think I have a guess on who's who. I know the information Jordan has. I don't know how much of it translates over, but caught that teal Imhotep likes to call people fools while orange Imhotep was being very motherly. Does Larry need to roll to put that together?
Roll me either insight or perception.
That is a 17, 11 plus 6.
I would say with a 17, you have all of the clues that have been laid out already.
All right, so Larry is going to move away from the gnarled tree and kind of step sort of in the middle, but distance away between the two Imhoteps, and he's going to look back and forth between them, and he's going to raise up his hands and he's going to Eldritch Blast the teal one, and I'm going to try and hit him twice to send him into the Sickening Radiance.
Good call, Larry. If we take them both down, we can sort of patch one of them up later.
yeah, for sure.
Is that one Eric?
Point of inspiration, Grayson.
Oh my gosh, bud. You need a nap. So 18 plus whatever for the first to hit. Natural 20 plus whatever for the second
Okay.
Hell yes.
So Larry's going to square up next to the teal one, hands at his hips, and he's going to be like, howdy, partner. And pew, pew, two Eldritch Blasts at him. That will just barely send him to the Sickening Radiance.
Because each one knocks him back 10 feet, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Both blasts total to 17 force damage.
Okay.
I'm just going to blow the smoke from my finger pistols.
And then would that be an immediate save on the Sickening Radiance?
Yes.
And it's a con save?
Yes, con save. DC 15.
That's a 6.
Phantom has never been so proud.
And now that you fail, you take the, 4d10?
Here we go.
So 4d10, a level of exhaustion, and you glow.
Yeah!
So that's going to be 24 damage.
Jesus. Nissimotep has 16 HP left.
Ooh, right.
We got him on the ropes, boys!
All right, excellent turn, Larry.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
Thank you.
So, Shadow Demon's turn now. They are going to use their movement to get as far away from the Sickening Radiance as possible, which is not very much. Two of them are still smoky clouds of darkness. Two of them are still corporeal. The two that are corporeal are going to use their bonus action to hide in the shadows, and then one will attack Larry, one will attack Orange Imhotep. So that is a 20 and a 19.
Both of those hit.
Yeah.
All right, so that's going to be 4d6 plus 3 for both of them.
Yimini.
That's going to be a 16 to Larry and a 17 to Imhotep.
Ouch.
Yeah, a little bit of an ouch.
So now it is Teal Imhotep's turn.
So you all watch this other Imhotep step out of the Sickening Radiance and kind of walk past the zombies, walk past Mary.
I had truly hoped that this would go much better than it had here. Crack. But I can see now, he cracks again, and that despite how foolish you are, one more crack in his body begins to extend and gross.
Oh.
That you aren't as stupid as I thought.
Who the frack is that?
He's still going to be using Imhotep's stat block, right?
Yes.
Okay. He kind of drops the weapon that he was wielding because his ruse is over, and he raises his hand, and he is going to cast Summon Celestial.
Whoa.
What?
Please describe Summon Celestial.
Summon Celestial. You call forth a celestial spirit. In this case, we're going to flavor it a little bit different. It manifests as an angelic demonic form in an unoccupied space that you can see within range of 90 feet. This corporeal form uses the celestial spirit stat block, which I have. The creature disappears when it drops to 0 hit points or when the spell ends. It is being used as a concentration spell.
Oh.
Good to know.
So you see him kind of chanting and like keeping this, kind of like how Larry's opened an eye to do the Sickening Radiance. Another hole is ripped in reality, kind of like the ones that Phantom had used. And this thing kind of warps itself out, and expands its wings, and you see this horrifying bird creature.
Oh, hey.
So since it attacks immediately after me, it is going to take two attacks against Imhotep. Is he going to get a disadvantage, I realize, because we're in darkness?
I would say yes.
Okay. So it's going to attack with its Radiant Mace. So with disadvantage, it's going to miss. Its second attack is going to critically miss. So he whiffs. But then I'd like him, Dan, to fly. Who do we want to pick on? Yeah, we're gonna go and target Phantom.
No. Hey, whoa.
So it's gonna fly 25, it's gonna fly 30 feet and get in Phantom's face.
So the Phantom was on your team.
Well, yes, but then he decided he wasn't going to be.
I have only attacked the other one.
Incompetence does not make good allies.
That's fair.
Does that end its turn?
That ends its turn, yes.
All right. Orange Imhotep.
So real Hotep is going to run and grab the Hellraiser and is going to make an attack attempt against the man who was too long.
Roll with disadvantage.
Okay.
The bastard.
That is a 15, which if he's still using my stats, it hits.
Okay. So that will still hit.
Okay. So it's going to be 8 damage, so he's not dead.
He will be.
He's very close to it.
No, Imhotep is going to see something that Mary has up his sleeve, and it's going to be really pretty.
All right, and I'm assuming that ends your turn.
That'll be the end for me, yeah.
Okay, so Jack, it is your turn.
So Jack's going to take his 40 feet of movement, jump over some tree branches, duck into this magical darkness. You said you're still using Imhotep's stat block?
Yeah, for the purposes of this combat.
So that means that this thing would still be considered undead.
For your purposes, we'll consider him undead.
Oh, cool. Then I'm going to switch over to Abraham's dagger and attempt a sneak attack.
Yeah, if your bonus action is to hide, go ahead and roll to hit with advantage.
That's a 15 to hit?
Yes, that hits.
Okay, so go ahead and make a sneak attack.
Okay. Shoot, it's been far too long for this. It was a d4.
I believe you're at 5d6 at this level.
Jesus Christ.
Oh, sweet God.
Yay.
Man, I was getting ready to kill the big bad.
Oh, that was a good one.
Is it over 8?
Yeah, because...
dead. It's dead.
Okay.
All right, describe your killing blow.
Jack's going to run in there, take Abraham's dagger, because he's still assuming that it's an undead, and slightly bump into Imhotep and just say, "Don't worry, we're going to take care of Eric right now." And goes for a dagger sneak attack right to the throat and going for a decapitation.
As you jump out of the shadows, slash at its throat, and topple the head off of the man who is too long, the head starts to roll away, and several sets of arms that are too long reach out, grab onto it.
Oh,
no!
And he is going to skitter away, holding the hand back, looking at all of you, making eye contact with Imhotep, and disappearing into the night.
A cheeky bastard.
Imhotep looks back at you, forks his thumb to where he was, and goes, "You thought that was me?"
I mean, I didn't see anything.
You didn't see that?
I saw that, but... we have shades. We have shades. We can talk about this later. We have shades.
Bigger fish to fry. Also, with him being gone, I think the other two zombies vanished as well because the concentration is broken.
Yep, the zombies and the celestial.
That's what I was hoping for.
I look over to Imhotep and I'm like, I mean, to be honest, we've had a very, very rough couple of weeks. But in my defense, I never once thought it was you.
What was that? What was that last bit?
Don't worry about it. Anyways.
Okay.
And of course, Jack snipes the kill I was going for because I was going to do something really useful of a fine. And I just like... Or is it my turn or not yet?
I was just finishing up my movement because I was trying to get away from baddies and bring them over to you.
Oh, cool. Thanks, bud.
Okay, so as you leap out of the magical darkness and see the man who is too long skitter away, you are able to kind of shamble your way away from the clouds of darkness off towards where Mary and Imhotep are.
The man skittered. The man skittered.
Well, right now, like you said, we have shades. So if you don't mind me, Terry Trum. And I summon the Javelin of Lightning. I move in front of Jack right next to Imhotep. Powers of the Seraphim, I invoke thee. And I chuck it at this shade right here.
I believe it is 5 feet wide, so you should be able to hit two of them at once.
Yeah, let's do that.
Okay, so that is a dexterity saving throw, and that is a 7 and a nat 1.
Wow.
Between a 7 and a 1, one of them will critically fail and the other one will regularly fail.
Imhotep hasn't seen this yet. And once I invoke the thing, imbue it with lightning, lightning just strikes it, and I just shuck it, and I just skewered both shades.
So one of them will take 4d6 lightning damage, the other will take 8d6 for the crit fail.
Two shades, one javelin. Snap my fingers, and lightning just comes down and strikes them both.
Holy shit, that was cool.
I look over at Jack and it's like,
oh, that's right, you haven't seen this yet, huh?
No.
What happened? I'm behind a tree.
And Larry, being really close to the explosion, is like, ah! And he's flashbanged by the lightning. It's like, oh, so bright. It was so dark and it was so bright.
25 total damage.
You take down one more of the shadow demons. One of them is fried to a crisp by this lightning. The other one is still there. So you are down to 3 shadow demons.
Cool. Bonus action is fire rage.
Okay. So that will be 3, 6, 9. Cut in half. That's going to be 4. So that'll be 3 damage to Larry and Imhotep.
Okay. I'm recovering from the flashbang, and then I feel heat and like, whoo! And the little corners of my mustache are fried.
No, don't shorten his mustache.
Sorry.
Just patting it. Smoke's coming up.
And for my final attack, I'm going to attack this shade with Divine Smite.
Go ahead and roll to hit.
I'm going to use my last spell slot of the day. So hopefully nothing else happens, because then I'll be out of spell slots.
Hear that, Dan? Nothing else is allowed to happen.
Yeah. Shut up. 16 plus 7, whoa. 23 to hit.
That's still going to hit. And go ahead and add on that radiant damage. That'll be an extra 2d8, which will be a 4d8 because they're vulnerable to it.
26 damage to this little bastard right here. I really hope that takes him out too, so there's only 2 shades left.
There are still 3.
Look at this guess.
Which, hey, you started with 13, so...
Oh, yeah.
True. I just look back over the Imhotep with a crack of smile, and I'm like, I can do magic now too.
Neat! Am I the only one?
Yup.
Yes.
Son of a bitch.
Look, we can have this discussion a little bit later. There are still more of these things.
All right, so Phantom, it is your turn.
All righty. Do I go for overkill?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. So I've got a series of questions to see if I can do the overkill. Is this tree an object?
Oh, God.
Oh, no.
Are you going to try to animate the tree?
Yes.
Describe the animate object spell to me.
I've already got it open. Objects come to life at your command. Choose up to 10 non-magical objects, but they all have like different point values. So depending on the size, I'm only going for the tree. They have to be non-magical objects within range that are not being worn or carried. You can't
animate the tree.
Hell yeah. But now I've got, how big is it?
Well, if the carriage was huge, the tree is also huge.
God, that's so sick. Oh, it's so fucking cool. All right. So I've got a giant tree. So what happens is everybody's not looking, and they hear the, like, sounds of axes. And as you all turn, you see the stagehands fell this giant tree and, like, pick it up and run off with it. And then a bunch of them come in with, like, a prop version. So they're all holding, like, pieces of cardboard that, like, look like the tree, but it sways. It's got, like, a mad face drawn on it. And then they lean back one of the arms, and they wallop towards the shades in general, one of the shades.
All right, so what kind of damage can the animated object do?
So I've got a plus 8 to hit, and if it hits, it will do 2d12 plus 4 damage. It does not say what kind, but I assume off of a tree it'll be bludgeoning.
Bludgeoning would make sense here.
Yeah.
So go ahead and roll to hit.
17.
A 17 will hit.
Let's go. Physical attacks, they work. Okay, so off of the d12s, I rolled an 11 and a 7, so it's 18 plus 2 for 20, but they resist it. 10's not nothing, though.
10 is not nothing. You are able to take another one off the board.
Hell yeah!
Their darkness is gone.
So you are down to just 2.
Hell yeah.
Phantom and the stagehands are all, like, running in circles, doing, like, the high five, like, after a soccer game style stuff, hanging out. That's all my stuff. I believe making it do things is a bonus action, so I'm set.
All right. Larry, it is your turn.
I want to just keep sending stuff towards the tree. That's awesome. I'm gonna run back and just try and keep these shades within range. So I will shoot the shade closest to me, that's right next to Mary, with my two Eldritch Blasts. That's a nat 20!
Ooh! Isn't that your second one? That's your second one, right?
Yeah!
The tree's right. Not gonna get to do shit, you're just gonna kill it.
I know! well, the other one's a 4, so it's just 1. So that'll be 16, and it's fired towards the tree 10 feet.
So Imhotep, it is your turn.
Hey, Dan.
Yes.
Something I didn't realize. I have a feature called Divine Strike now.
Ooh.
You gain the ability to infuse your weapon strike with necrotic energy once on each of your turns. When you hit a creature with a weapon attack, I get to add 1d8 necrotic damage to whatever I roll for damage.
Rad.
So he's going to rush in, and since I have this kick-ass sword, that is going to be 21.
That's
going to
hit.
Okay. So it's going to take 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 regular magic damage, and then an additional 7 necrotic damage. So that's going to be 18 total damage.
All right. Jack, it is your turn.
Jack's going to go ahead and holster his daggers and walk right behind Mary, and then tap him on the shoulder and just be like, hey, just a heads up. Looking real cool out there. And then he'll go ahead and take the help action.
All right. Mary, over to you.
I just kind of like smile a little bit and look over Jack's like, thank you. And I just go over and no one is in range now. And I do the Super Saiyan fire damage.
That will be another 3 damage. And then it probably doesn't matter, but the tree also takes 3 damage.
It's only so little damage because the techs are used to working with all my bullshit. So as soon as it gets on fire, they whip out a little like fire extinguisher and just put it out inside.
And I know I'm in the darkness, but I'm going to go ahead and swing at this guy. That's an 11.
An 11 will not
hit. So 11 plus 7.
Oh, wait, 11 plus 7.
Yeah.
That will hit.
Aha.
Yeah. Ooh. Oh, that's an 8 plus 3, 11.
9, 10, 11, so that'll be 5.
Okay.
That ain't nothing.
All right, Aaron, it is your turn. And also, retroactively, take a point of inspiration for just kind of your general hijinks this fight, not any one thing in particular.
Yeah, take it. Well, obviously, we're going to go ahead and start with the tree. But what's going to happen for this one, unfortunately, is they're like getting a little ambitious and I'm egging them on. So they're like stacking up and holding the tree like pieces really tall. And then one of them buckles and the whole tower falls and crushes one of the shadows. Assuming it hits, which is a natural 20. Oh my god.
Yeah! That makes sense. This is amazing.
31 damage, but then halved.
So that'll be 15. And with your flavor and everything, I'm going to say the tree is prone.
Fair enough. Tree is prone.
Last sentence.
And now for my action, assuming that the tree is prone kind of on top of one of the shadows, I'm going to walk over, pull out my rapier and poke it, I guess. 14, which we recently learned is good enough. 7, which would cut in half to, what, 3? So I really do just poke it. Like, I walk up and I'm like, you still alive? Or whatever your equivalent of alive is.
And it's going to snarl and slash out at you.
fine, fuck.
Larry, it is your turn.
I guess we're all just going to surround this toppled tree. And, I mean, my best cantrip's my Eldritch Blast, so I'll just boom, boom.
Go ahead and roll to hit.
8 and then 16 plus whatever.
Okay, so one of them will hit.
And that will do 9 damage.
So you're down to just one shadow demon felled beneath a prop tree.
I don't know. I feel like the next step is just for all of us to just start kicking them.
I rolled a kick.
I rolled a kick. Just punk, 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 punk. But that's my turn.
So for the shadow demon's turn, he is going to move and like phase through the tree. It will count as difficult terrain, so it's going to take 10 feet of his movement to get out from under the tree, and then another 10 feet of movement to get unprone. So he's going to use the remainder of his movement to try and get further away and do a tactical retreat. He can't get very far, though, so that will end his turn. So now it is Imhotep's turn.
Do I go for the overkill?
Sure.
Yeah.
I mean, it's been fun. I'd suggest it.
Overkill.
You might as well.
All right, fuck it. I'm going to use my 1/5 level spell for this one, and I'm going to use Flame Strike.
Yeah! Should we run?
I'm not going to center it on him. I'll center it, like, hold on. I'll
put diagonally into the back, like right here.
I'll center it right there. I'm going to burn the building down.
And that's a deck save?
Yes, it's a deck save.
Nat 1.
Oh,
yeah!
All right, going to take... that is going to be 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 fire damage. And then... 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 7, 8 radiant damage, so a total of 20 damage.
And is that doubled because of the crit fail?
Oh shit. Then 40 damage. You watch Imhotep put the new Kopesh on, and he says, this is a phrase that I learned while I was in hell. Call me! Just like shoots, and just a pillar of radiant fire drops down on this poor building, engulfs it in brilliant flame, and just destroys everything.
Wait, also double the radiant damage again because it's vulnerable to radiant.
Oh my god.
So it's going to take an additional 12 damage.
So 52?
Kobe!
He's dead, right? He is dead, right?
Is that the most
right?
damage anyone's done on this show so far?
I think so. The record was me. I think I set the record with like 38 or something.
As the flames are crackling and like the building is collapsing and burning into the fire, Eric leans over to Imhotep. We're like friends, right? We're cool. We're not. We're good, yeah?
Being perfectly candid, 1 HP left.
Oh, come on. I mean, is there anything else that you can do?
Throw a rock at him, maybe.
Can I use Thaumaturgy to I make flames flicker, brighten, or dim for 1 minute? Can I just make the flames ever so slightly brighter to just snuff out that last little bit of shadow?
Roll Arcana.
That's an 18 on the dice, so an unnatural 20.
Sure, you can deal 1 damage with this Thaumaturgy.
So he throws this flame out, and he's just kind of standing there super proud of, like, how good it is, but he sees just the slightest little hint of the shadow. And he, like, puts his fingers together and then, like, pulls his hands apart, and the flames get just a little bit brighter, and it just, like, is enough to, like, snuff out a little bit of shadow because it's just way too bright for it to exist anymore.
And congratulations, you are out of combat, and you've got your cleric back.
Yay!
Well, damn. Yeah, we do need to have a conversation. Or not a conversation, we need to catch up, because that was pretty cool.
It was pretty cool. And this pillar of fire just dies out. The building that was there is no longer there.
Jesus, you guys are scary. Larry with your giant spotlight? Phantom with the tree coming to life? Barry? Thun lightning? What? And Imhotep? Imhotep, you're back!
Imhotep! I don't know about y'all, but I'm gonna run up and hug him.
I think I'm gonna do the same thing. I've been wanting to do it all day, so I just go up and I grasp Imhotep. I assume Jack's there too. I grasp all three of them in like a giant bear hug, and I lift them up off the ground.
Yes, it is good to see you all as well.
That other you is so mean.
As I see Eric moving his token away, the bandages are gonna come off of the wing and grab him and drag him.
Yeah! It's family hug time, Eric.
As he pulls the phantom in, he's like right next to me, goes, if I'm stuck in this, but I'm crushing hugs, so are you.
So we are good then. Aww, and I am gonna hug back now.
Hey.
We are the outcasts, misfits you might say. We deal with the nightmares that you run away from every single day. We know the world is a gruesome little place. But us outsiders, we've developed quite a taste for the grisly and morbid, the ghastly and the horrid. We know it's awful dreadful, but we like it. Just another haunted night, shrouded with unearthly fright. So when you're oh so terrified, you know who to call. The world is falling apart, we'll never take it to heart. So monsters and creatures and spirits and specters and all, let's all have a ball.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of D&D Dark, created, hosted, and edited by myself, Danger Dan Jers, with artwork by Jordan Nelson. Special thanks to our patrons, including Len Inc. 13, Emperor Palpatine, Sparks Witty, CJ, and Pink Shy Guy. If you want to join our cult and hear your name entered into the pool of credit shoutouts, as well as get access to our fan Discord, bonus mini campaigns, and one-shots, then head over to our Patreon and sign up for just $5 a month. If you want to help us out in other ways, then spread the word to your friends and family, or leave us a review at ratethispodcast.com/dndark. D&D Dark's cast this episode is Jordan Nelson as Larry Talbot, the Wolfman, Ben Magnet as Mary, the Frankenstein Monster, Aaron Caulfield as Eric, the Phantom of the Opera, Grayson Norman as Jack Griffin, the Invisible Man, and Daniel Cruz as Imhotep, the Mummy. Our theme song and outro is Let's All Have a Ball by Ryan White Maloney and Tony Carboni, recorded at True North Studios, Las Vegas. Listen to new episodes of D&D Dark Wednesdays, anywhere you find podcasts.
So, that will be... riveting stuff, me doing a whole bunch of quick math.
You're good. It is my fault. I am sorry. I had a nice second to draw a hat.
It looks oddly suspicious.
Teal and orange, brown and teal and orange.
And welcome to D&D Dark Presents Muppet Alien. I am your host and game mother, Daniel Cruz.
It's time to light the light.
Captain Miller, wait for me!
There's no way. It's been 75 years.
There is a way, because that's how long this ship has been missing, according to Weyland-Yutani records.
Check the radar to see what it is that Davis was looking for, and to make sure that it happens. Hi-ya!
You push the button, you hear the rumble of the elevator shaft from the elevator rising. When the door opens, you can see that there has been a firefight in here.
Do we want to take the stairs?
So as long as you didn't roll over a 6, you guys managed to keep it together. Just barely.
So hopefully we're looking for Muppet reviews.
Well, if you're gonna be making comments like that, I'm gonna have to charge you.
You charge me? We are on a mission by Weyland-Yutani. You can't charge me. I'm the one charging you.
Listen. Semantics, alright?
Alright. I've got one question for all of you here. What is happening?
D&D Dark presents Muppet Alien. Premiering October 16th, 2024, only on patreon.com/dndarkpodcast.
It's time to meet the Muppet.